Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I want to talk to you today about what God has done, is doing, and will do with America. Now, I prepared another sermon for today because I didn't realize this was the weekend before the 4th of July. Somehow or other, it just kind of snuck up on me. So I went back in my files. Some of the stuff you hear today, probably you've heard before because I had it in the files. But I wanted to get something to celebrate the fact that our nation is celebrating their 249 years as a nation. Again, that's hard to believe because I remember when we did the bicentennial, we were in Pullman, Washington. We had big celebration. I invited Paul Harvey to come in, and we rented the Coliseum at Washington State University, and good night, that was 49 years ago. Now here we are again, 50 years later the next year, that we're going to celebrate 250 years. That's fantastic. Anyhow, I want to talk today about what God has done, is doing, and will do with America. Psalms 33:12, King James Version said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." As I said, next Friday is the 4th of July, Independence Day. And I think, you know, it should involve a lot more than hot dogs and baseball and all that kind of stuff. I think we should celebrate this nation's 249th birthday and look at our heritage and how God has prospered and protected us. Now, there are three things to consider. First, I'd say never forget how God has blessed America throughout our history. And then number two, see what God is doing for America today. And three, realize what God will do with America in the future, depending on what America does. So let's look at it. Recognize how God has sustained America. First, America exists because God raised her up and God has played a prominent role in her existence. God was revered in the first colonies that started the nation. In Jamestown, Virginia, the first community building was a church, and actually the only building whose wall is still standing today. The first thing that the Puritans did after arriving at Plymouth Rock was to kneel to pray and praise God and dedicate their new colony for the use of God. Roger Williams, a Baptist minister, established Rhode Island. Lord Baltimore held church services when establishing Maryland. William Penn, the great Quaker, established Pennsylvania, New York, Delaware, Connecticut, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. And when we read their writings, it's obvious that God birthed America. William Penn, in writing his government policies for Pennsylvania, required all treasurers, judges, and all elected officials profess faith in Jesus Christ. Of course, this is no longer taught in school today because the history revisionists want to defame our history and divorce God from all that has been done in the past. My, how far we've fallen. 23 years ago, the United States 11th Circuit Court of Appeals agreed with the federal trial court that the Ten Commandments memorial that had been placed in the rotunda of the Alabama Judicial Building by State Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore, they said it must be removed. Judge Moore had authorized the memorial to remind us biblical laws stand as the moral groundwork of American law. His efforts resulted in his being removed from the Alabama Supreme Court. Certainly, we can understand that we must be careful not to upset young people by telling them not to kill, not to steal, or commit adultery. I mean, we might hamper their activities and upset their fragile psyches. So, of course, the Ten Commandments had to come down. Our founding fathers consistently used the Bible and Judeo-Christian values to define and preserve this nation. 12 of the original 13 colonies incorporated the entire Ten Commandments into their civil and criminal codes. President John Adams said, The law given from Sinai was a civil and municipal code, as well as a moral and religious code. These are laws essential to the existence of men in society, and most of which have been enacted by every nation which ever professed any code of laws. Vain indeed would be the search among the writings of the secular history to find so broad, so complete, and so solid a basis of morality as the Ten Commandments lay down. Well, contrast that with the 4 years of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris when they were in the White House promoting abortion, same-sex marriage, sex changes, and wide-open borders, allowing who knows what there is that came into our nation. Thank God things are changing with Trump's regime. The American Bible Society was started by an act of Congress. John Adams, our second president, served as its first leader. The laws are based on the Ten Commandments and sound biblical principles. The Supreme Court building, built in 1935, has Moses and the Ten Commandments carved right on the front of it. I think it's too bad that the Supreme Court justices must enter back in the back way and not be reminded of the fact as they go in about Moses and the Ten Commandments. In the House of Representatives, a sculpture of Moses is across the speaker's seat. Imagine how proud Moses must have been to share a seat with Nancy Pelosi all those years. Maybe Mike Johnson is more compatible. President George Washington said, "It is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible. Of all the dispositions and habits that lead us to political prosperity, our religion and morality are indispensable supporters." In 1782, the U.S. Congress voted a resolution recommending and approving the Bible to be used in the schools. The Bible was the first reader for children. You know, A stands for Adam, and like that. The Bible was taught in the classroom until 1963, when Madeline Murray O'Hare decided that she didn't want her son to be exposed to that stuff that was in the Bible. And so she started lawsuits, and eventually, I'm sorry to say, won and got the Bible and prayer taken out of schools. It's interesting that her son William, that she was trying to defend, make sure he was not exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, has accepted Christ as Savior and is a Baptist preacher today, to which I say, amen, hallelujah. Henry Lawrence, the fourth president of the Continental Congress, said, "I had the honor of being one who framed the Constitution. In order effectually to accomplish these great constitutional ends, it is especially the duty of those who bear rule to promote and encourage respect for God and virtue." Patrick Henry, the first governor of Virginia and a member of the Continental Congress, said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." The Constitution ends by pointing back to Jesus. It says, "In the year of our Lord," our nation's motto, "In God We Trust," the pledge to the flag, "One Nation Under God." See, God birthed America, but America has drifted far away from her roots. God has blessed America. We've compromised, and we're losing his blessing. Let me give you a word of hope. Maybe things are turning around now that we have new leaders in Washington, D.C., directing us a totally different direction. And I say again, praise God. Louisiana passed a law to reinstate the Ten Commandments in all school classrooms. Also, 34 states now allow the school day to open with a moment of silence, which students can pray if they want to. American history has tons of stories of God's miraculous intervention in times of crises, but most history books are written by humanists who edit these true facts out of the textbooks. In 1776, the Revolutionary War British Commander William Howe was moving 30,000 British soldiers to take New York. General George Washington had only 18,000 inexperienced troops. British troops outflanked Washington, who had lost 1,000 men and two of his top generals. Washington's troops were cold and hungry and discouraged. In fact, history tells us some of those soldiers didn't even have shoes in that winter weather. Without any reason, the British halted their troops. Had they pressed on, they would have destroyed Washington's troops. Washington's army was trapped on Long Island. The only escape route was the treacherous East River. The weather was terrible. It seemed impossible to cross that raging river. Washington called for prayer to ask for God's guidance and help, and it was decided to try to cross the river. It was stormy. Suddenly, at 11 p.m., the wind and rain stopped, and the river became as smooth as glass. As the little army started across, a gentle breeze came up behind them to push them along. Even with this miracle, it would still have been impossible to get all the troops across to Manhattan Island before daybreak. So, just before daybreak, a thick fog formed over them, hiding them from the British. When the fog lifted, the British commander Howe was shocked. Washington's troops had escaped. Washington and his men recognized this was God's blessing and God's miracle to help save America. There are so many more stories of how God used the weather and other circumstances to help our military to gain victory. For instance, he used the weather in the invasion of Normandy on D-Day in World War II. God's role was primarily seen in the weather conditions that facilitated the Allied invasion of Normandy. The Allies needed a specific window of good weather for a successful landing, including light winds, calm seas, and clear skies for the paratroopers. A German forecast predicting prolonged bad weather led them, the Germans, to be caught off guard when the Allies launched their attack during a brief lull in the storms. The Germans, thinking the storming weather would prevent an invasion, let down their defenses and even granted leave to some of their soldiers. While the weather wasn't perfect, it was good enough to let the invasion proceed. Some accounts highlight the perfect combination of conditions, including a full moon and low tide, as being crucial for the operation. Don't take your freedom for granted. It comes at a high price. Alan Starr erected a monument in Arkansas to the 241 servicemen killed when the Marine headquarters was bombed in Lebanon. With $2,000 and used bricks, he built an 8-by-4-foot monument with bronze plaque that says, "Lest we forget that peace has a price." As you celebrate the 4th of July or Independence Day, remember your freedom is not free. Just ask a parent who has lost a son or daughter in a war. Ask a child whose dad or mom didn't come home after a war. Ask a soldier who lost a leg or an arm or his sight or was injured for life. I get kind of misty when I see the Wounded Warriors commercial on TV and realize these guys had paid so much for my freedom. God helped me to honor what they have done. What has God done? Well, he birthed America and he blessed America. What God is doing for America today, that's the question we want. He sees how far we've fallen in the 249 years since our birth in 1776. He sees the sin and the corruption of our sexually promiscuous society. He sees over 62 million plus babies murdered for the convenience of women and men who want to play around but don't want the responsibility for their actions. He sees drunkenness and drug addictions destroying lives today. He sees the violence and the murders occurring daily in this once God-fearing nation. He sees the perversion of gay lifestyles, sex changes, the critical race theory, the accusations of white supremacy. God is very much aware of how wicked and rebellious this nation has become. He sees the persecution of Christians going on and realizes it's going to get worse, but we need to turn to God for strength. He sees the lying and cheating in our politics and our elections. He sees a belligerent nation that has forgotten its roots and is completely out of control. Because he knew this was coming, he inspired the Apostle Paul to write in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7. Now remember, this was over 2,000 years ago. Paul said, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, or lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And you wonder, are we reading the Bible? It was written 2,000 years ago, or is this something that was currently written in newspapers? It says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." How long do you suppose God will continue to bless America? Someone says, "Well, we're a religious company or country." I want you to know religion isn't the answer. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." And I would remind you, for the most part today, America has forgotten God. Today, there are more churches than ever, more corruption, hypocrisy in government, and like I said, more churches than ever. Where is God in all this? We must have a national revival if we hope to survive. In our history, every time the nation has strayed too far, Christians have woke up and prayed, and God has sent revival to put us back on the right course. A blog that was written by Patrick Morley outlines the seasons of revival in this country. First, there was the Great Awakening in 1734 to 1743. Second, the Great Awakening from 1800 to 1840. Then the Businessman's Revival, 1857 to 1858. Remember, this started when only six men started meeting at noon for prayer in a church, and it spread clear across the country. Then there was the Civil War Revival, 1861 to 65. The Urban Revivals, 1875 to 85. The Welsh Revival, 1904 to 1906. The Azusa Street Revival, 1906. The Post-World War II Awakening. The Charismatic Renewal and Jesus Movement. And the mid-1990s Revival. But I want you to know there has not been a spiritual awakening in America for well over a century. I had hoped the meetings at Asbury in February 2023 would be the start of something great. The nation has become more and more corrupt and is ripe for God's judgment. Psalm 9:17 again, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." And I know that we think we're pretty special, but America has forgotten God. This generation has never experienced a revival, so people don't even know what they're missing or what to look for. You know, Christians need to pray for a God-anointed, heaven-sent revival. I remind you, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Each revival or spiritual awakening leaves its own heat signature. In 1740, youth led the way. In 1857, businessmen and prayer took center stage. And the 1906 Azusa Revival was decidedly interracial, yet all share common themes. What are the most frequently mentioned characteristics of revivals and awakenings in literature? Well, timing. Revivals emerge during time of spiritual and moral decline, which leads to intense prayer. And I think we as Christians better start some serious prayer. Then the second thing is prayer. God puts a longing into the hearts of many to pray for revival. Number three, the word. The preaching or reading of God's word brings deep conviction and desire for Christ. And today, there are just too many pastors that are just watering everything down. They're afraid to get up and proclaim the gospel, and we're suffering because of that. Four, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes people to a spiritual depth that they could not achieve on their own. Five, conviction. Affected sinners are inconsolable except in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Number six, God receives praise, honor, and glory for bringing revival. Number seven, reformation renewal. Revival produces lasting results or lasting fruit. New ministries are started and society experiences a reform of morals as more and more people are converted to Jesus Christ. Manifestations is number eight. Manifestations like fainting, groaning, and prayer and miracles vary by culture and denomination. And number nine, messy. Revivals are messy. Controversy swirl about miracles and abuses and excesses and suspicions and theological disputes, to name a few. And number 10, cynical. Revivals inevitably crest and decline. Jesus' world was a lot like ours. Governments and established religions were corrupt. People were lost. They were rebellious. John chapter 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Today, our world is so messed up that people joke about Christ's return. Oh, he's coming. He's really ticked off. Only they use another word there. And you better pay attention and all that. All the false rapture predictions have not helped. But Jesus is the way. And he's speaking to lost people. And he is going to come back. Of all the religions of the world, how do we know Jesus is the way? Well, it comes to eternal life. Confucius is dead. Muhammad is dead. Only Jesus claimed and proved victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. If you've lost direction or purpose, follow Jesus because he is the way. Jesus is the truth. He is speaking to educated people. The world says there are no absolutes. Truth varies among individuals. You have my truth and your truth. That's not right. There's only one truth. And Jesus says that there are absolutes that we can depend on. The big lie too many people buy into is it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere and it helps you. Listen, your belief doesn't create truth. Truth is true whether you believe it or not. If you don't understand that, just pretend that you don't believe in gravity and then get up and walk off the top of your roof and see if because you don't believe in gravity, it no longer works. Check out your belief and see that it's the truth. Jesus is alive. He's speaking to longing people. The bottom line is people are looking for something worth living for. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. And so the question, why are people lost? Because they haven't come to Jesus. Why are people not finding truth? Why are people not living a real life instead of just existing? America is where anyone can hear the gospel. You are greatly privileged. God's watching you and watching what you're going to do with your privileges. What will you do with Jesus? Well, what is God going to do to America? Bible teaches that God is going to judge America. History is filled with all the wreckage of nations that forgot God. And unless America turns back to God, we bought the farm and will soon take our place in the long line of wreckage of nations. What a sad commentary when our Supreme Court judges can't legislate a decision on Roe versus Wade without being threatened and harassed by morally depraved demonstrators because they want to murder babies for their own convenience. America is the modern Sodom and Gomorrah. God is not going to tolerate it much longer. America is going to be judged, and I would say turn back to God while you still can. Billy Graham said one time, if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. God warned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, in the last days, people will be deceived and will believe a lie rather than the truth. America is weakened because we've dismissed God and bought the lie. History has proven a republic is always temporary in nature. It simply can't exist as a permanent form of government. A republic will continue to exist until voters discover they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From then on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most benefits from the public treasury, and the results, every republic will finally collapse over loose fiscal problems, which is usually followed by dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from beginning to end in history has been about 200 years. This year, we are celebrating 249 years. During those 200 years, nations progress through the following sequence. They go from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from great courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to governmental dependence, and from governmental dependence back to bondage. Where are we today in this cycle? I'm not sure we can turn this nation around. We've ignored God too long, and we have let every evil and perversion into our society. Not only have we let God on our God-given heritage and morals, we've compromised to the point that the average American thinks that God is just a swear word or a word to punctuate their language. Christians even say, oh my God, and all that. The Bible says, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. God warned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 11, in the last days, people will be deceived and will believe a lie rather than truth. America has been weakened because we dismissed God and bought into the big lie. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us must give an account. When you stand before God and he asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? How are you going to answer? If we took a survey asking people, how many of you plan to get to go to hell and burn forever? I don't think anyone with any sense plans to burn in hell forever. If I ask how many of you are born again for sure, not all of you would raise your hand. Oh, by the way, people say, well, a loving God wouldn't send anybody to hell. The loving God doesn't. He gives us a choice not to go there. He has provided a way for us to escape, but we need to make that, because if we end in hell, it's by our own choice, not because God sent us there. When you're planning on getting right with God, when are you planning on getting right with God if you're not right today? God says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? This week of Independence Day, July 4th, We will celebrate our independence, our freedoms. Listen, if you want to celebrate real freedom, give your life to Jesus Christ. John 8:36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." This will be or is either your day of liberation or a day you will be forever judged for rejecting Jesus Christ. I want to say happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. Remember, it's far more than baseball, hot dogs, Coke, and apple pie. Father, I pray that you'll help us to wake up and realize how you have blessed us as a nation and as individuals, how we've been blessed to live here. But Lord, we don't want to just take these blessings for granted. You've also provided a way of salvation, so when we're done here on earth, we can go live with you in heaven forever. And I pray that you help each one that's listening today to make that decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, you know how to get a hold of me if you want to. It's box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Also, you can use my phone number, 623-845-2741. You can text me or you can call me, and I would be interested if you have a need or if you just want to pray or talk. I'd be interested in hearing from you, and I'll do what I can to give you all the help I can. By the way, I do now have a podcast, and it's got all the sermons that I've preached online since 2020. And if you're interested in finding that, the address is all these words all put together, churchofthegalilean.com. Now, each word, Church of the Galilean, starts with a capital letter, and then we go to lowercase. And I think that would be something that if you enjoy these podcasts, you'd want to look into. God bless you. Have a nice, safe 4th of July, and we'll talk to you later.